I had a big old buzz going on there, Mike, when I tried to get you on here, and I muted my mic so that I wouldn't destroy the world out there with that sound.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you doing okay?
Yeah, doing fine. Even got some rain this last couple of days.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, we're in a horrible drought down here, so
probably a bunch of people down there rebounded.
I know they need to.
Oh, okay. Well, I won't go there. No, okay. What the heck. So, anyway, well, listen, now, it's about time to begin right now. So,
okay.
I've got your notes up here, and we'll start right wherever you wanted to start. I'll go ahead and start this recording, and we'll be off and running, buddy.
Okay.
Hey, here we go. All right, friends, this is Dr. Jim Bertel coming to you live from my home here in Maumelle, Arkansas, and I want to welcome you to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. And we're going to open the Word of Truth this morning to Tolerating Tyranny, a book that's being written by my friend, Pastor Mike Smith from Country Bible Church in Brenham, Texas. And good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How you doing?
Oh, sir, I'll tell you what, I was running about 78%. Oh, you've heard that before, haven't you? I'm doing just fine. I'll tell you what we might do. Why don't we start again with just a word of prayer? Give our folks an opportunity to rebound and go ahead and close in prayer, and we'll take a look at where we need to start today, okay?
Okay, sounds great.
Okay, bud.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this day. We thank you that we have the privilege to talk about matters of great importance, mm-hmm. and we ask that you will help us to have an open mind, that we will get rid of any bias or prejudice, because we want to do what is pleasing in your sight. So we pray that you will just add your blessings to the time that we have together, and we mm-hmm. pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Mike, it looked to me like we stopped right about the time of the Nuremberg trial, and I'm going to let you go ahead and start and pick up anywhere you want to, but before we do that, let's give your website and email address again and inform our people as to how they might get in touch with you if they need to.
Okay, my website is www.countrybiblechurch.us. My email address is Mike, M-I-K-E, 44GV at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mike, I had sent out an email this morning, and I think you might have gotten it. You might not have had a chance to read it yet, but I'm cutting back on my schedule due to the fact that I've got some health problems right now with the shingles, and I didn't plan on this, but apparently God did. And as a result of my medication for my rheumatoid arthritis, some of that medication lowers the immune system. And as a result of that, I contracted shingles, and it's been pretty painful. And so in order to give myself an opportunity to recover, I thought what I would do is cut back on some of my programs. And I've cut the Tuesday and Thursday out altogether. So there'll be no program. That didn't affect you, but I've cut out the Tuesday and Thursday altogether. And cut out my 11:15 on Monday with IQ All Rizzulli, and he understood what I was doing. And in that sense, I thought maybe, here's what I want you to think about. I'd like for you to consider the possibility of downloading the free Adobe Flash Media Encoder. It's a free encoder, and that's what actually transports this program to Christian Netcast that sends it out to the world. And if you would download that onto your computer, I'd give you the configuration, and in case something should happen where I couldn't be here on a Monday, you could actually start the program down there and just run the program and do it yourself.
Okay.
And I want to offer that to you. Don't have to say one way or another, but I'd like to offer that to you so that that could actually help me a little bit in case this physical condition doesn't get any better quicker. Okay.
Okay.
And I'll get in touch with you by phone off the program then and talk some more about that. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's do this. Let's pick up with the Nuremberg trial or wherever you want to pick up, and let's move on from there, buddy.
Okay. You want to give them your.
Oh, yeah, the telephone number, sure enough. Thank you. Senior citizen moment here, I keep forgetting that. The telephone number is 501-944-1678. One more time, it's 501 844-1678. And if you want to call the program and ask a question of Mike concerning his book, Tolerating Tyranny, or you want to call and ask him a question about the Christian way of life, just call the telephone number, 501-944-1678. I'll put it on my speakerphone and hold it up against the microphone here. Mike will hear that, the world will hear it, and we'll try to get you an answer. 501-944-1678. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Back to you, sir.
Okay, I'm going to start at the Nuremberg Trials, but first of all, I want to just pick up on something that we were discussing when we ran out of time.
Okay, sure. Mm-hmm.
You said, what if I refuse to obey a law and ask others to join me? You remember that?
Yes, absolutely, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and there are people who would think that that is rebellion, that you're mm-hmm. being a rebel, and I'll address that in just a moment, but
mm-hmm.
you know, that's already been done by pastors here recently who ask other pastors
mm-hmm.
to join them
mm-hmm.
in speaking specifically from the pulpit about politicians and political issues.
Absolutely.
In lieu of the 501c3 issue. And that goes along with what you're saying. This is something that was already done.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just with this issue. Of course, there's
sure.
other issues that has this same type of thing has happened. But anytime you would do that or these pastors would do that, you always have people who are going to
mm-hmm.
accuse them of being out of line and rebellious.
Mm-hmm.
And this term, rebel or rebellion,
mm-hmm.
being rebellious, I think in our culture has a negative connotation to
mm-hmm.
it. During the War for Southern Independence, if you know which war I'm
sure.
talking about,
mm-hmm.
some call it the Civil War.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
They were called rebels as well,
mm-hmm.
and with a very negative connotation. And I was looking in the dictionary this morning, and it does describe a rebel as one who opposes or takes up arms against a government or ruler.
Mm-hmm.
A disobedient, rebellious, that's the definition of the adjective of a rebel.
Mm-hmm.
A rebellion has the opposition to one in authority or dominance, open defiance or resistance to an established government.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A synonym that they have is revolution.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is I don't think that when a person stands for righteousness and opposes someone who has gone against them, harmed them, and is a promoter of evil,
mm-hmm.
I'm of the persuasion, my thinking is they are the ones who have rebelled.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
In fact, when I was going to different publishers that had read my book,
sure.
the manuscript anyway, one of them was eager to publish it, but he asked me an interesting question. One of the first questions he asked me after he had read it, he told me, he said, you really make a strong case. He said, but let me ask you a question. Are you advocating rebellion against the government?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm not sure what you mean by that,
mm-hmm.
rebellion
mm-hmm.
against the government. Because in my way of thinking, when anyone in authority
mm-hmm.
has rebelled against what God has ordained them to do, the authority that he has given to them, when they go beyond those boundaries, they're the ones that are rebelling.
Mm-hmm.
They're rebelling against God. They're rebelling against what is right.
Yes.
This can be done by a parent, by a husband, by a boss, or by a government. And so I don't think standing for what is right, really can be described as rebellion in a negative connotation. Have you ever thought of it that
way? Well, yes, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right about that. There's if you don't mind, I'd like to throw out something else to you that I find myself in hot water about 99.9% of the time when I make this kind of a comment. If we understand the angelic conflict and the fact that man is on this planet to resolve the angelic conflict, and we as human beings, not just as Christian, but human beings, have been drafted into this conflict. We didn't enlist. We have been drafted into this. And so that it is my considered opinion, Mike, that freedom is the most fundamental principle of all of human history. And what I find is that oftentimes many conservative Christians, people like you and me, that come out of our background, and I'm not just talking about the doctrinal movement. I'm talking about Jerry Falwell and the independent Baptists and the real fundamentalists out there. They are complaining about the Ten Commandments being taken off the walls of our systems of jurisprudence. We're talking about prayer being taken out of school, and we're talking about homosexuals. Homosexuality and lesbianism and this kind of thing, it seems to me as though we have lost the focus on the fact that freedom is the most fundamental principle of all of human life, and the Christian way of life, those things to which you and I are to be obedient, we cannot force that upon anybody. And as a result of this, I find many, many Christians that are removing the very freedom from people because it offends our system of righteousness. And I'm concerned about the fact that many people are not understanding that what I permit, I do not condone. I don't condone homosexuality. I don't condone lesbianism. I don't condone marriage between same-sex marriage. I don't condone that. But if God permits it, why should not I? Because freedom is the most fundamental principle of all of human life. Now, I'm not sure whether I'm being clear, and maybe I'm being very, very clear, but I'd like to get your opinion because I'm not finding anybody out here who's willing to stop and think long enough to realize that freedom is the most fundamental principle. And you couldn't take prayer out of school if you wanted to. And who in the world among us believes that living by the Ten Commandments is what we as Christians are to live by? That's Mosaic law. It has nothing to do with us. So you don't have to answer that right now, but I'm looking for an opinion out here from somebody that I trust, because I think we've got this thing I'm editorializing. We've got it all wrong. Go ahead, sir.
It's true that in this country, and indeed mankind, should mm-hmm. be free to do whatever his conscience
yes.
Allows or mm-hmm. disallows. They're free to act as long as they don't impose on someone else's rights.
Absolutely.
Now, if a person wants to be a homosexual and in defiance of God,
mm-hmm.
then he has a right to do it,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't make it right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And a lot of times I think Christians are tarred with a brush of either racism or bigotism
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
or being unloving.
Absolutely.
When they speak out against homosexuality,
mm-hmm,
that it's
mm-hmm.
a sin and it's repugnant to God.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have is not just the they have the right to do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's gone much further than that. They've gone beyond just wanting to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Now they want to be celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
And now the government is taking people who refuse. Let's say you have a government.
Mm-hmm,
I remember
mm-hmm.
reading recently about a woman that was a florist, had a florist business,
mm-hmm.
and she even had people who would come in. The homosexuals would come in and buy flowers from her.
Mm-hmm.
That was no problem. But when they ask her to come to one of their homosexual weddings, same-sex marriage,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and be involved in that wedding,
sure,
and decorating
mm-hmm.
with the flowers and so forth, she
mm-hmm.
refused.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when they asked her why, she was courageous enough
yeah.
to say, this is against my religious beliefs, mm-hmm. against my mm-hmm. faith. I just don't feel right about doing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that wound up into, they sued her for that.
Yep.
And she's now either going to be fined or else maybe, I guess possibly even in prison for standing up for against what homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have any animosity toward the person themselves.
You understand?
And I don't believe it's right to hate homosexuals. I think it's correct to be able to, and we have the right to say that God is opposed to that, and
mm-hmm.
we should. I think we even should separate from homosexuals.
I agree.
Apart from that, we would be condoning it.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone beyond just acceptance mm-hmm. into. I can see in the not too distant future that anyone who would pronounce homosexuality a sin, even if it's a pastor from the pulpit,
mm-hmm.
would be guilty of a hate crime.
That's
already occurred in other countries.
Yes, sir.
Headed for ours as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's when it gets into the area where they would call you're just a rebel. You're not going along
mm-hmm.
with
mm-hmm. yep.
the flow. You're going against government.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think whenever the government or anyone in authority rebels against established
mm-hmm.
norms, goes against what the Word of God says,
mm-hmm.
and opposes and oppresses someone,
mm-hmm.
then they are the rebels. They
mm-hmm.
are rebelling
mm-hmm.
against mm-hmm. God. They're rebelling against what is right.
Mm-hmm.
And let's take the situation we're in now. I think that our government has rebelled against the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
and then for someone to say to some person, whether he's a Christian or not,
mm-hmm.
Says, "No, I will not obey this unconstitutional
mm-hmm.
law.
Mm-hmm.
You've rebelled against the Constitution. You're not the one
mm-hmm.
that is in charge. It's the
mm-hmm.
people. We are the masters. You're the servant, and you have rebelled against the Constitution. I won't do it."
Mm-hmm.
But what do others say? Oh, well, that person is rebelling against, is the rebel.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never even discussed this with anybody before. I'm just trying to formulate these things in my own mind.
Okay.
But I just think that label is associated with revolution.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And revolution is condemned by God. We're
mm-hmm.
not to try to overthrow an established authority.
Mm-hmm.
But when that authority becomes tyrannical,
mm-hmm.
becomes a despot, then we're not obliged to continue to submit to
mm-hmm.
that. And refusal to submit, I believe, is not properly
mm-hmm.
called a rebellion or a rebel in the context that we use it today.
Yes.
Would people call Christ a rebel because he threw out the
money
changers?
Mm-hmm.
The Pharisees were the established authority, the
mm-hmm.
religious
mm-hmm.
leaders.
Yes.
He called them vipers and whitewashed tombstones. Was he a rebel?
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike, I'll tell you what. I'm glad we're having this conversation because I agree with everything you said. I agree wholeheartedly. And my position does not violate anything that you've said. I think that what you're saying is right on target. And the problem is not a matter of granting the homosexual the freedom to same-sex marriage. For us to permit that does not necessarily mean we condone that. But when the government comes along and says this is a hate crime because you've taken this statement, now we've got the problem where we've got that tyrannical government, and the question is, what are we going to do about that? I'm going to take the stand, Mike. I'm going to take the stand against homosexuality, against same-sex marriage. I permit it, but don't condone it. And if necessary down the road, if they say you're going to jail or whatever, I'm going to jail, buddy.
Well, you know, it wasn't that long ago in our country. I wish I knew the exact date, but it was, I don't know, maybe a decade, two decades ago, something
uh-huh.
like that. Time goes by so fast.
Tell me.
That it was against the law to be a homosexual and to be caught in a homosexual
mm-hmm.
act
mm-hmm.
could get you arrested. Now, we've gone from that to being very close to having someone arrested who would condemn homosexuality.
Absolutely.
Just recently, our president was over in Africa, And he was pushing this homosexual agenda, and some of these leaders of these African nations would not put up with it, and they were offended and opposed him on this because they still have laws against homosexual activity in these countries.
Yeah.
Of course, I saw that on the alternative news. You'll never see that type of thing on the mainstream news. But these are issues that people need to think about and not just have that knee-jerk reaction that so often happens. And this this rebellion, thinking that it is tantamount to revolution.
Absolutely.
I don't think applicable for those who stand up for righteousness to a government who has rebelled against the Constitution, they have rebelled against God, and they rebelled against the people. And when some person stands up and says, no, I'm not going to abide by that, they call him the rebel.
Well, is it not...
I wanted to just throw that out.
Is it not so, though, that the that what has happened is that the government has become tyrannical in the sense that they're trying to force upon you and me the condoning of homosexuality because of the idea of hate crimes and you know Islamophobia. These are going to be hate crimes, and they're telling us we're going to be fined, imprisoned, or whatever. And that's where the whole thing has gone astray because. Again, would you agree that permitting and condoning are not the same?
Well, yes, absolutely.
That's my point.
We really, I don't think we have any authority to permit it. I mean, this is the government that is making change the laws. And have accepted it or permitted it. I mean, we in our own. In our own life, in our own little area of living, people we come in contact, and then we can make decisions, I believe, that whether we're going to permit it or condone it or whatever.
Yeah.
But as far as in a larger sense with the government, we don't have any say in that.
No, but and when I...
else, they can just write an executive order. Nobody can do anything about that anyway.
Well, when I say I permit it, what I mean by that is I'm acknowledging the fact that they are free to do that. They're free to do it as long as their freedom does not usurp my freedom in some way or another, and that's sort of what I mean by permitting it. But I don't condone it, and I believe that God, if we'll just step back and get out of God's way, God will deal with it. As a matter of fact, I think that's what's happening today, Mike. When I talk about the five generation slide, we've slidden so far away from the absolute truths of God's word that today. I think we fouled up the gospel. 90% plus are teaching a work salvation. We fouled up the royal family honor code, and now we find that the church through legalism and the government are taking away our freedom. So there's not much truth left, and this is why I talk about the five generation slide and how bad it is today.
Well, let me throw this at you just to
okay,
see
buddy.
You think about it with concerning permitting and condoning.
Yes.
If someone comes into my church that's a homosexual and he is there to get doctrine and he's not trying to promote homosexuality.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe he could be a homosexual that recognizes that this is a sin and is struggling with it.
Yes, sir.
And he's not trying to promote it, then he's permitted to come to my church.
Sure.
But if he comes in and is an active homosexual, he doesn't believe that it's a sin, and he's trying to advocate that, then he's no longer welcome in my church.
No, I throw him out.
That because I think that would be condoning it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely, Mike. There have been times in my ministry, there have been times when I've had as many as seven homosexuals and lesbians sitting in the audience in front of me. And I as long as they come and keep quiet and listen, take in the Word of God, we've got no problem. As a matter of fact, we even talked openly. I talked openly with them about this. But I would not let them become a member of the church. They could not be a member of the church until they cease their practice.
Well, that's good. And long as they're not trying to promote it.
Absolutely.
Because that would sow discord and disorder.
Absolutely.
Disharmony in the church, and that would have to be addressed. And that wouldn't just be with homosexuality. That would be with any sin.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, you had someone that was an adulterer and acknowledged that he was an adulterer.
Absolutely.
Thought there was nothing wrong with it, and he said, y'all could do the same.
Yep.
I'm not going to permit someone to do that in my church.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if he wants to come in, sit there and learn and not disrupt, then he's welcome to do
that. Absolutely. I'm 100% in agreement, Mike.
Okay, well, I didn't want to open a whole bag of worms, but I just thought since we were talking about that last
Absolutely.
Time, we ran out of time, and we might just embellish a little more.
No, that's fine. Listen, that's what this program is designed, at least I hope it's designed to do. It's to be open. I think you want to get the truth out. I want to get the truth out. I want to know what the truth is. I think you want to know what the truth is, and perhaps we might learn from one another. I can certainly learn from you, brother.
Absolutely, and that's why I'll ask you to give that phone number, because there are people out there that very well might have something to add that would benefit both of us.
Absolutely, 501-944-1678. You're free to call.
Okay, now I'm going on with the Nuremberg trial.
Let's do it, brother.
We just had about one paragraph or two is all we did.
Yes, I'm sure.
Both God and man hold us accountable when we ignore our conscience and submit to evil. A good example is the Nuremberg trials that were held in 1945, where war criminals were tried for infamous crimes against humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of the defendants had the same defense. They said they were not guilty because they were only following orders. They committed atrocities because they refused to disobey the authority over them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is the result of the belief that we do not have the right to choose which orders or laws we will obey and which ones we will not obey.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the war criminals were executed by the court because the court realized that the authority of our own conscience supersedes the authority of those over us.
Let me stop you right there, pal. Let me stop right there because I don't want to lose this thought. Have you had any military service at all?
Well, what little bit you might call that I had when I was in the Corps at Texas A&M.
Okay, that's fine. Well, because if that's the case, you may understand then where I'm going with this. Being in the military, we were told that we must obey the commands that are given to us. We must obey them. Now, if you didn't obey those commands, then you would be court-martialed. And my question then is this: if you are on the front line of a war, and you're given an order that you feel like that is inconsistent with military justice, and you decide, I'm a free moral agent here, and I don't really have to obey this. How do we reconcile the fact that our own military indicates that we are responsible to follow the commands of those above us, and some of those commands might not be worthy of following, but we're told that court martial's the answer if you don't do this.
Well, there's a chain of command that's higher than mm-hmm. the military officers or leaders over you.
Okay.
And we always have to be mindful of that.
Mm-hmm.
What came to my mind as you were saying this was a part of a film, Patriot. Remember the Patriot with, what's his name?
I'm in trouble when it comes to movies, sir.
Well, it was about the First War of Independence for America.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is normally called the mm-hmm. Revolutionary War. And I can't think of his name. The guy that did the Passion of the Christ.
Okay. I don't know that either.
That doesn't ring a bell.
No, I'm not much of a movie guy.
I'll just explain the
Do
scene.
It.
There were the British came into one of the towns
mm-hmm.
in the colonies, and this was a brutal, sadistic officer, a military officer,
mm-hmm.
and he ordered the men to put the torch to the town.
Yes.
Because the residents had gone into the church and hid in there.
Okay.
And he ordered them to padlock the doors and burn the church.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, now, that's a good example.
Yes, sir.
Direct order. And the,
that's right.
And the lower officer refused to obey it at first, but then he said, well, you'll be court-martialed, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you'll be hanged or whatever. Well, that guy was at a point to where he had to decide, am I going to abide by an evil command
yep.
and save my own self,
mm-hmm.
or am I going to obey God and resist this and
mm-hmm.
let God handle it?
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, he obeyed the commander and burned innocent women
yes,
and children
okay. mm-hmm.
and old men up in this church.
Mm-hmm.
So my answer to that is, we always, it doesn't matter where it's a person in
yep.
In the military that is giving an order,
mm-hmm.
or whether it's your government giving orders, it doesn't matter who, or whether
mm-hmm.
it's a husband, or whether it's a parent, whoever, our boss, no matter who it is, we have to remember that we always are responsible to the highest in the chain
mm-hmm.
of command,
mm-hmm.
and that is God.
Yeah.
And when they are rebelling against God and ordering us to do something that goes against our conscience,
mm-hmm.
then we are wrong to go against our conscience and obey
mm-hmm.
that who is immediately over
yeah.
us in authority, because they are under an authority as well.
Yeah, Mike, your illustration is a great illustration. As a matter of fact, when I was trying to come up with an illustration to use, what was going through my mind was on the battlefield where someone in command would order someone to kill an innocent civilian, not as a part of that war. That is a great illustration. And I think that what I hear you saying, and this is where I would be coming from, that I would not have to follow that order. But if I didn't, I'd simply have to pay the consequence. And I think in the angelic conflict, again, if God's permitting that kind of a situation, he wants me to follow him, and I can't help but believe that, I'm just going to use another illustration here, that if in fact this is a mature believer, what is evidence testing? You know, when God tested Job, when he tested Jesus, when Satan tested these two, I think that we're going to find ourselves in situations like that too, and I believe that we need to follow the conscience and not follow the command. So what the consequence? God knows about this, and my life is in His hands. So I just do what I need to do in order to be right with God.
And this is not an issue that is foreign to the average person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every day we have to make decisions.
Yes.
Anyone that is working for someone, for an organization, has to make these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times businesses will require someone to cheat or to lie or to steal or do something that is obviously wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
people have to decide, am I going to comply with this? And it's so easy to rationalize, well, I'll just go ahead and go along with it because I could lose my job and
mm-hmm.
it's not that big a deal. But it is a big deal.
Yes.
God requires us to stand for righteousness, what our conscience tells us to do. And when we go against that, we just went over this a few weeks ago, anything that is not of faith is a sin.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And when
yeah.
you go against your conscience, even if, remember we were talking
yeah.
about the weaker believers,
and yes.
it was against their conscience to eat meat offered to idols.
Yes.
And to a more mature believer, they know that meat is meat. It doesn't matter whether it's
yeah.
offered to an idol or not.
Yeah, that's right.
But if the one who was a weaker believer went ahead and ate that against their conscience, even though it wasn't wrong to do, it would be a sin to them because they went against their
Absolutely.
Conscience. Whatever is not of faith is
sin. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
well, you know, Mike, I think, again, in all this, in 1975, I said to God, sink, swim, live, or die. I'm going to go with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I left the denomination. And when I left the denomination, it took 13 years before I had any of my friends back there in the denomination that were pastors. It took 13 years before they would ever recognize me as having a valid ministry, because they thought I was going to tear up the church and tear up the denomination as a result of this. And that was not my desire to do that at all. So for 13 years, I suffered persecution from my friends because I left the denomination. And I would imagine that when you look back, you may find that some of that happened to you also.
Well, anytime someone decides that they're going to abide by their conscience
mm-hmm.
and not go with the flow,
yes,
do what they think is right before the Lord, they're always going to be attacked. But anytime you step out of line,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
as they say, oh, you're out of line. You have to be
yes.
wrong because you're not with everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, many times, if not most of the time, it is their fellow brethren, Christians, that will excoriate them
Hello.
More than anyone
yes.
else.
Yes.
And that's why one reason I'm writing this book is because I want people to understand that it's okay to get out of line.
Mm-hmm.
This knee-jerk
mm-hmm.
idea that we will obey every law. Well, why? Because it's the law. No. Mm-hmm. That's not what the Bible says. That's
yeah.
not what God requires. He requires us to think and consider and deliberate and go to the Bible, look at history, look at all these things to come to a conclusion whether you're going to obey it or not. And when you obey it, it's not because you're defiant. It doesn't mean that you're rebellious. It doesn't mean that you're a rebellion. It means that in your conviction,
mm-hmm,
you're doing
mm-hmm.
this before God in order to do the right thing.
Yes.
And this is, I don't think most people, especially Christians, recognize that they have not only the right, but they have a duty
mm-hmm.
to take every action that they, every decision that they make has to be weighed against the Word of God
yes.
and their conscience. And we can't just dismiss it and say, well, it really doesn't matter. It does matter.
Yes.
So.
Well, I tell you what, 100%, I'm 100% with you, brother. 100%.
Well, I'm glad I have at least one person
yeah.
on my side.
Yeah, well, I'll tell
one
you what.
One other thing before we go on. A while ago, we were talking about hate crimes.
Yes, sir.
I think that's a travesty. I think there should be no such thing as hate crimes because
mm-hmm.
when you boil it down, it's being either fined or imprisoned for what you think.
Sure.
And we have the freedom of speech. We have the freedom of assembly. We have the freedom of religion. We have the freedom of the press. At least the Constitution recognizes those God-given rights,
mm-hmm.
the Bill of Rights, that is. And so if we have all those rights to add to now, we're not. I don't think we have those rights today, at least not as we should have or used to have. But now they've added the, you don't have the right to think
That's right.
politically incorrect thoughts anymore.
Mm-hmm.
When someone is commits a crime, if they say something that a racially epithet or something of that sort,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
they call somebody a racial name or whatever.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, what does that have to do with the crime he's committing? I mean, he is going to have added penalty and punishment for what he said because that's what he's thinking when he was committing the crime.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether you would agree with this, but I thought that in America, you had the freedom to be a bigot if you wanted to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The hate crime is not calling someone homosexual or being anti-Islam. The hate crime is legislation that takes my freedom away from me as a Christian.
Right. Right. And that, see what now that it's been on the books long enough to where it's established,
mm-hmm.
it's going to go beyond just the way it originally came about.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was when it was in Texas. I can't remember the name of the case,
mm-hmm.
but these ruffians took this black guy out, and of course they were bigoted,
mm-hmm.
and they were it was a homosexual, and they drug him behind the truck. You remember that?
Yes, I sure do. Yes, I remember that.
That's when the hate crimes came out. I remember, I don't think it was a black guy, maybe it was, but I think it was because of the homosexuality issue.
Mm-hmm.
They took him out and tied him to a fence and beat him up, and then they drug him behind this truck. And that is shocking. It's very offensive.
Yes.
But they went too far, saying now anyone who even says something that is biased against a homosexual is a hate crime.
Thank you.
And now we're facing the points where Christians who speak out boldly about
yes.
the
mm-hmm.
righteousness of the Bible
yeah.
and what God accepts and what he doesn't now mm-hmm. can fall under that same penalty. It just always goes beyond, and I don't think it should ever have happened anyway. So,
No, I understand.
Anyway, let's go on with the. I think we've covered one paragraph.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We covered. And if the rapture is delayed just a little while, we may finish this.
We may what?
We may finish it.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I think that we should go about reading this the same way we read the Bible, not to see how much we can.
Absolutely, Mike.
We can read, but we are to meditate on it and think about it and let it really penetrate into our soul.
Absolutely.
It makes a difference.
Absolutely. Agreed.
Okay. The court's verdict, and we're talking about the Nuremberg trial.
Mm-hmm.
The court's verdict was correct because it was based on the right premise. When there is a clash between one's conscience and those in authority, it is the conscience that should be followed. We are all responsible to God for the choices and decisions we make, regardless of what those in authority may say. People may have the right to disobey unjust laws and dictates of the state when compliance would cause them to violate
mm-hmm,
the conscience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Of course, this does not suggest that we should refuse to submit to injustice in trivial matters. Probably the most prudent thing to do when you get a speeding ticket, even though you weren't speeding, is to pay the fine and move on. The Declaration of Independence addresses this issue. And then here's a quote
mm-hmm,
from
yeah.
The Declaration. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes,
mm-hmm.
and accordingly all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable
mm-hmm.
than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. So we understand that man has a fallen nature, and there's no such thing as a perfect husband, a perfect parent, a perfect child, a perfect boss, or a perfect government.
Just perfect pastors.
And perfect pastors.
Go ahead.
You mean there's not perfect pastors?
No, that's what I'm saying. And perfect pastors. I was assuming there were perfect pastors. All these other folks out there got something wrong with them.
Right.
No, go ahead. I just teasing.
I thought there might be a possibility of being at least two.
yeah, at least.
Yeah.
In any case,
this is, we understand this, and this is common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people err, I think, by making a mountain out of a molehill, and they major in the minors,
mm-hmm,
and we
mm-hmm.
have to use just good discernment, I believe.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
However, when the state arrogates its powers to itself, God did not delegate. When it violates fundamental rights of the people, when it disregards the Constitution, when it becomes a minister of Satan for evil, then the people have the right to do what is necessary to secure their freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And then another quote from the Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
There. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such a government and to provide new guards for their future security.
Boy, that's a potent statement. Goodness gracious.
Man.
How
many people do you think really understand that? How many people in this country do you think even know that exists? I mean, if you would quote that to them, most people today would throw their hand over their mouth and be shocked.
Yes.
And they would gasp.
Mm-hmm.
Rebellion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Insurrection.
Sure.
And they don't know that this is part of the basic, most fundamental document that our country is founded on.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
It is instructive to notice what Paul said right before he wrote Romans 13. He concluded chapter 12 with the following. This is Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have two direct commands here. How can we obey them if we are not allowed to resist the evil dictates of the state?
Mm-hmm.
How can, and I'm not reading, I'm just commenting.
Sure.
How can we not be overcome by evil if it is wrong to resist a tyrannical government?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How can we overcome evil with good if we are required to submit to evil?
Mm-hmm.
These are just questions I'm asking.
Sure.
Not in the notes here, but I think people need to seriously consider these questions and what the answers would be.
If we submit to tyrannical government, then we simply become a part of the problem, not a part of the solution. And I think that's exactly what's taking place in our country today.
And too many Christians believe that it is pleasing to God to submit to anything
mm-hmm.
because it's
yeah.
the law.
What if I said it this way? I don't think it's very possible that many don't have the guts to stand up against the government.
Oh, absolutely. But I think maybe there are those out there that would, but
mm-hmm.
they have been deceived in the thinking.
Absolutely.
Especially by these verses that we're going over in Romans 13,
mm-hmm.
that God
mm-hmm.
requires us to submit to government.
Sure.
And when whatever the dictate may be, we must submit because it's the law.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's like a parent telling when a child asks, the parent tells the child to do something, and the child asks why, and the parent says, because I said so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of times children are just being defiant by continuing to ask, and there's a time to
mm-hmm.
tell them,
mm-hmm.
maybe because I said so. But what the parent needs to tell the child is, because I'm required by God to train you to have respect for authority. And when you disobey me, when you question me, you're questioning God as
yeah.
well, because he gave me that authority to, you know,
mm-hmm.
to explain
yep.
it to them. And but today, people with, I don't know if that's that great an illustration, but today people have the idea that we must unquestionably submit to anything that is that the government requires of us, because they're the government, they make the laws, and the Bible requires us to submit to that.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'm saying that's superficial analysis, and it's simply wrong. You can't substantiate that by the Bible. Now, sometimes I think that they use that as an excuse, so they don't have to be bold. They don't have to risk anything. They'll just go along with whatever
yeah.
the government says, because that's the safe thing to do.
Yeah.
So, I handle that in another part of the book. Not seeking revenge and not repaying evil with evil is good. However, complying with evil is not good, nor is it pleasing to the Lord. He never requires us to voluntarily submit to brutality or abuse. God expects us to endure undeserved suffering without retaliation. But that does not mean that we must voluntarily yield to cruelty of a bully or the ruthlessness of a tyrant.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, Mike, let me ask you this, because I think that statement is that it's clear, and I think it's absolutely right. But when we talk about, let's see, God expects us to endure undeserved suffering without retaliation. But that does not mean that we must voluntarily yield to the cruelty of a bully or the ruthlessness of a tyrant. Let's take that cruelty of a bully and the ruthlessness of a tyrant. And we don't necessarily mean coming and breaking my door down and coming into my house and beating me, or something like that. But it may just be such things as excessive taxation. It might be Obamacare. It might be something like that. And where I'm not being beaten physically. What I want to do is to ask the question. We don't have to have something physical take place for it to be a bully or the ruthlessness of a tyrant. But can it be just such things as excessive taxation?
Absolutely, because excessive taxation
mm-hmm.
is cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
It's really stealing.
Yeah.
Here's one place that people maybe will illustrate it some. Some people say you should never strike back no matter what, because the Bible says to turn the other cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to take that and try to apply it to a criminal that is going to harm you, to a bully that's trying to
yes.
beat you
mm-hmm.
up, is a misapplication.
Absolutely.
That had to do... In fact, in another part of the book, I go into great detail about that particular issue. in that scripture. But it doesn't have anything to do with someone, with a criminal, or someone who's trying to steal from you, somebody that's trying to harm you, or a government that's trying to abuse you. This has to do with a social issue where your life is not really in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to do, I guess, to a degree with what I brought up here, which is unconditional, undeserved suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So each person has to determine in their own life, in their own soul, what they're going to suffer. But the Bible, this is the point that I'm trying to make, is that the Bible does not require you to voluntarily submit to evil, mm-hmm. to abuse, or to a bully. And whether it's a government or whether it's a person or whoever it is. If you're working for a company and the company has changed its policy and they're becoming oppressive, you can hang in there, and even though you don't deserve the suffering that you're going to experience, and it's your choice to stay under that, then that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have the right to try to undermine the authority of those who are in charge, or to try to start rebellion in that company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's one way I could describe that. Mm-hmm. This is, we could spend a lot of time trying to make these distinctions, because I think undeserved suffering is more attuned to not suffering punitively for something you have done. You understand?
Yes, sir.
So undeserved suffering doesn't mean that you have to suffer when it's undeserved by the government oppressing you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think, and you, maybe most of the people out there who are listening have heard this term before. If they have anything to do with the Colonel's teaching, then certainly they are familiar with
mm-hmm,
it.
Absolutely.
But this undeserved suffering deals with the kind of suffering you don't deserve. It's not punitive.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
As opposed to that which is deserved, which is punitive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's more, I think, in tune to the way with our relationship with God more than relationship with people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's a verse that I have that I'm going to give you now that is not in y'all's notes. I added it.
Okay.
And it's 1 Peter 3:17. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you should suffer for doing what is right rather than for what is doing
mm-hmm.
Doing what is wrong.
Yes.
So that, I think, has to do with the undeserved suffering. But I want to point out, if God should will it that you that you suffer for doing what is right. What I want to point out is that when you do what is right, more times than not, you're going to suffer for it. And when you decide that you are not going to submit to an unjust, immoral law, then you have to recognize it takes courage, it takes trust in the Lord, that it's not only possible, it's probable that you're going to suffer, because we live in a fallen world, and it's popular to go along with the crowd and do what is unpleasing to the Lord. But whenever you do what is right, then you're probably going to suffer for it. And this verse is saying, I'll read it one more time, for it is better if God will it so, this is His will, that you suffer for doing what is right.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than for doing what is wrong.
Yeah.
Because everybody, God is behind punitive suffering. When we do something wrong, then we need to suffer. But I think people who refuse to make these distinctions and just unconditionally submit to an authority, whether it's their boss or their husband or the pastor or the government, when they just unconditionally submit, then that's not pleasing to God, because I think it's God's will for us to suffer for doing what is right.
Absolutely.
So, good judgment must be used when one decides to no longer tolerate tyranny. It can be risky, and it should be done only after prayer and careful consideration has been made as to the proper time and the proper way to go forward.
Let me ask you a question in that sentence. Have you changed that where it says, and careful consideration has been made?
Did I read it wrong?
Well, no, I've got here, and in my document here, it's in careful consideration has been made. And I just wanted to, if that's an oversight on your part, you might want to change it.
No, you're right. I read it.
You read it right, but
it needs to be changed.
Yes, sir.
This is unedited note
yes, sir.
That you got there.
Okay.
See, only after prayer and careful consideration has been made as
yes,
to the
mm-hmm.
proper time and proper way to go
before,
forward.
Yes,
in
mm-hmm.
other words, we don't ever want to have a defiant, haughty attitude because that's not pleasing to God.
Yes.
And then there's a verse here that underscores this with in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 through 6.
Yes.
Since the word of a king is authoritative, who will say to him, what are you doing?
Yes.
He who keeps a royal command experiences no trouble. For a wise heart knows the proper time and procedure. In other words, he's saying, he who keeps a royal command experiences no trouble. Those who go along just to get along and don't want to make waves, there's not going to be any trouble.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But he says, for a wise heart, this is one who has wisdom, this is one who has discernment, knows the proper time and procedure.
Mm-hmm.
And then verse 6 says, for there is a proper time and procedure for every delight, though a man's trouble is heavy upon him. What he's saying is there's a proper time and a proper procedure
mm-hmm.
to refuse submission to
yes.
a king
mm-hmm.
or to a government. And these are things that we have to consider. I hope people don't get the idea that what I'm advocating or what the Bible advocating is a haughty defiance. What we're talking about is very serious consideration of what we do when we say no to someone who is in authority over us, because that's a very serious issue. And what Ecclesiastes, what Solomon is saying here, is that the wise person knows the proper time to do it
mm-hmm.
and the proper procedure, in other words, how to go about it. We're to do the right thing in the right way. And there is a proper time. When he says there's a proper time and procedure for every delight, he's talking, I'm sure other translations may have a different word there than just delight.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you know that Your conscience is telling you that you shouldn't go along with what the king is saying.
Yes.
It's evil, it's immoral, whatever it may be. But you have to consider the proper time to resist and the proper way to resist. Because though a man's trouble is heavy upon him.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, this verse is describing someone who is heavy and burdened down because of oppression.
Yes.
And he has to decide, okay, what am I going to do about it? How am I going to do it? When am I going to
mm-hmm.
do it? These are the things that are to be considered when you make a stand.
Yep.
We should never resist an abusive authority with defiance or anger. We should be humble and respectful, but resolve that we will not allow anyone to ignore our God-given rights or compel us to comply with evil. We should. What should the men that were on the Nuremberg on the trial at Nuremberg have done to avoid being tried for their war crimes? They should have disobeyed those who had authority over them
mm-hmm.
and obeyed their conscience rather than the illegitimate, unlawful commands of their superiors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes, refusing to resist evil leaders can be costly, and then I go into another issue there.
Yeah, but I tell you what, this is probably going to be, we've got about a minute and 45 seconds before 10 o'clock, And
well, I don't want to. The next part is an evil king not resisted. And boy, the Bible is so clear on these things. If we just have an open mind and really study them, it speaks to us.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going to see there is that the people, that God disciplined the people for what the king did. And we'll get into that more more the next time.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that he punished the people for what the king did because they did not resist him.
Yes, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
And that's something that is somewhat shocking to some people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the last minute, I guess, that we have,
sure.
I'd like to just, again, speak to the people who are listening and ask them to consider these things that we're covering. And,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully, if you're convicted that what this manuscript so far is
mm-hmm.
saying,
mm-hmm.
that you will talk to others about it. I don't think that we need to get on a soapbox and start preaching to people, but just bringing the issues up and asking questions to other people will start a dialogue, and I think that might be the spark that starts people to understand that we are in desperate times, and if we continue to do what we've been doing, which is nothing,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
then we're going to lose our freedoms, and it's all will be lost. It has to start somewhere, and I think it can start when people start discussing these issues, bringing them up, asking other people what they think about their relationship between themselves and the government, and is it absolutely necessary for Christians to comply with every dictate of the state? Just asking questions like that will get them to thinking, and then maybe they'll start taking these things seriously and
mm-hmm.
discussing these. I don't think people discuss these things. I know that maybe the circles that we live in
mm-hmm.
do, but I think the people in mass don't have time.
Oh, I think so, Mike. Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. The circle that we're living in is pretty small.
And if anybody doesn't agree, I hope that they would call in or email or do something.
Yeah.
Or even if they have a question that we haven't covered on these issues,
mm-hmm.
because that's what I want it to be, interactive as much as possible.
Sure. Well, Mike, give your email address so that if someone wanted to write in and get this off of iTunes or something like that, they need to have a way to contact you. So why don't you give your email address
one
more time?
Okay, it's Mike, M-I-K-E, 44, G-V, as in green vine, at gmail.com.
Okay. Okay, buddy, I tell you what, this has been another good program, and I look forward to Mondays with you, and I think that this is right on target, and I can't wait for the book to come out so that the folks that have time could read ahead or read before what we've done here and get the bigger picture. But I sure do thank you for your time, Mike. This is a great opportunity.
Well, I thank you for having me on. It's a real pleasure
mm-hmm.
and privilege to be able to discuss these things with
you. Well, I'll call you, and we'll talk about, you know, you're doing this on your own somewhere along the line, where that gives me a little more time. I appreciate being with you, but if I need more time, I'd like for you to be able to continue on.
Sounds great.
Okay, buddy. Thanks a lot for being with us today.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye now. Okay, I've just shut down my recording here, and I'll take about 30 seconds or so, and I'll go ahead and shut down the stream here on this encoder. But in the meantime, look, you could email Mike. Send it to me. I'll send it on to him. This is his program where I'm hosting, but I want you to hear his message. And I think he's right on target. And this has just been a great day and a great time with him on these Mondays. So, if you will, let's get some involvement on your part, okay? So, God bless you. Thanks for being with me today. Remember, the spiritual spin stops right here. Why? Because we really care for you. Bye-bye.